you're getting really close to almost 2,000 overdoses reversed. And I was just wondering if you could talk a little bit more about that and what that milestone means for the Indiana Recovery Alliance.
We're really excited that we have, as you said, we've almost saved 2,000 lives. We think about that, you know, in the idea that that's 2,000 people that showed up for dinner that night, right? That's 2,000 people that had things to do the next day that were able to meet with their family or other important life events. So every day we have people come in and thank us. It just doesn't stop. So it both shows the scope of what we're dealing with, the fact that we've had that many overdose reversals, primarily in the direct region, and that it's literally a daily occurrence that we hear that we save somebody's life. So we think about it most in the human story, but we also think about the economic impact that's happening for Bloomington and Monroe County, you know, both in terms of if people are able to reverse their own overdose, that can save on average about $5,000 per trip to the emergency room and overdose reversal. I don't like to think about it in monetary terms, but oftentimes we hear back in monetary terms that you shouldn't be saving those people and it's not worth, the $15 or $20 that naloxone costs or the attendant medical costs that their lives somewhat aren't worth saving. So we like to throw that back and use actual data and say, in fact, us giving out naloxone saves, you know, everybody money. It saves the community money. And then in the wider sense, it increases our quality of life, which, again, just speaking economically, would attract more business, right, and just be better economically for our region in general.
And Chris, I'm sure you're very familiar with this argument that it's great that you've saved these people, and presumably some of those overdose reversals were one person multiple times. A lot of this argument stems from why stop the reversal of somebody who's just going to go out and do it, you know, next week?
I mean, that's a really slippery slope. So we hear that. We hear that they were engaged in something illegal, or we'll hear all types of reasons. The truth of the matter is that drug users specifically have been villainized and demonized for intensely for the last 40 years, but even more so for about the last 100 years. So it's a result of that, honestly, because you don't hear the same arguments being said to, say, someone who is smoking, right, and is going to get surgery, or somebody who is having, not taking care of themselves in a health situation, and where you don't hear about denying them access to health care. So it's a really slippery slope, and the standard that they're applying for people who use drugs, they wouldn't apply to other people, whether it's, again, like health risks or somebody not wearing their seatbelt or people engaged in risky sports. You just wouldn't hear that argument.
2,000 overdose reversals. Is that mostly in Monroe County, or where else is Indiana Recovery Alliance operating?
Yeah, so we can distribute legally naloxone throughout the whole state, but that is almost exclusively from Monroe County and surrounding counties, because we only get reports back from people who come back in to get more naloxone. So it's going to be pretty rare that we would have someone from Fort Wayne or from other places where we've distributed reporting back to us. So, yeah, within South Central Indiana.
And roughly how many people a day would you end up having a overdose reversal thanks to the Indiana Recovery Alliance or volunteers?
So I don't know how many happen every day, but if you just take that 2,000 and then, you know, we've been distributing since 2015, right, so that would be about 700 a year. Right, so that would average out to a couple every day.
Pivoting now a little bit, Chris, can we talk a little bit about this IU Health report that's just recently come out? This is largely focusing just on the monetary impact of the opioid crisis here in Indiana. And we've seen these numbers, $43.3 billion in economic activity has been lost due to the opioid crisis. That's since 2003 and roughly $4 billion a year. And you had kind of done a very lovely segue into that by talking about, on average, every overdose that can be reversed is saving counties and emergency services and hospitals and taxpayers roughly about $5,000. I was wondering if you could delve a little bit more into that economic impact.
Yeah, again, only with the caveat that I don't like talking about it like this because it dehumanizes the problem, but it's necessary to talk about it like this to get legislators and other Hoosiers who look at this as only an economic problem. So with that caveat, it is not necessarily, I don't believe, the use of opiates that causes all of this economic damage. And what I mean by that, the actual natural consequences of opioid use are exacerbated by our policies around them. For example, in the recent Indiana Business Review numbers that came out, they talk about criminalization and incarceration pulling away from the labor pool. And since Indiana is already has a tight labor market, then this is going to lead to economic downturn in the future. And that's not a result of opioid use. That's a result of criminalization of opioid use. So we have many programs that could face that head on. There are initiatives like Ban the Box. There are expungement initiatives. Pre-arrest diversion programs, such as law enforcement-assisted diversion. As we mentioned, the naloxone access to friends and family, who are the real first responders in this, changes to our drug-free workplace standards. There are many, many things we can do to move away from criminalization and stigma that will counter what people are worried about economically for the state. And those are all within our grasp. I said before, these things are constructed. Right? They're not natural consequences of opioid use. So the good thing about that is we can then deconstruct them and move towards a more rational and sane approach rather than a punitive. I want to throw out, too, that in one of the articles that talked about Southeast Indiana being particularly bad with incarceration. And unfortunately for all of us, the prosecutor from there, Aaron Meggengard, is now the chief deputy prosecutor for the Attorney General's office. So as this is cited specifically down towards Dearborn County, we now have that enacted, it's trying to be enacted statewide, this push towards criminalization and jailing people as opposed to, you know, meeting them where they're at and trying to find out how we collaborate and be helpful.
Chris, you're, of course, familiar with the Jail Chemical Addictions Program. That is one of these initiatives that's being championed. Treating addiction and people who are experiencing addiction that end up going through corrections facilities and getting them enrolled into this JCAP, Jail Chemical Addictions Pilot Program. Is that not a solution, possibly, that while these people, while it's possible to be both tough on crime, in quotes, and also offer recovery tools?
Yeah, so the problem with that, we need, again, the vast majority of the problems that we're experiencing right now are from criminalization and stigma. So to begin to facilitate mental health solutions or public health solutions within the criminal justice system actually concretizes that criminalization, right? It makes real that stigma. It creates physical buildings where that exists. So while we are absolutely supportive of different medication-assisted therapies, we think those should be separated out from the criminal justice system. And in fact, you know, the vast majority of people in jail for drug charges shouldn't be in there at all. They should have been diverted prior to even entering into the system. So no, I wouldn't be supportive of efforts like that because I don't think that they're effective. And they also, again, further stigmatize people who have mental health and drug issues.
And one thing I just want to mention to some of our listeners is that according to this latest report from Indiana Business Review, there's roughly half of the people who are in jail, of the nearly 50,000 people who are in jail in Indiana, roughly about 21,000, or an estimated 21,000 of those, are incarcerated on drug charges. So that's just something that I wanted to mention. Chris, is there anything else that you would like our listeners to know, either about this milestone for Indiana Recovery Alliance or about this latest report out from Indiana University or the Indiana Business Review article?
That oftentimes, you know, we'll talk about economic consequences from the opioid crisis, but it's important to keep in mind that these are real human beings whose lives are being destroyed. And we really can live in a society that doesn't perpetuate that. I've seen it. It's possible. It involves, as I said, not arresting people. It involves compassion and love and evidence-based practices. So I know that here in Monroe County, we have a lot of people working towards that, and it gives me a little bit of hope that maybe the rest of Indiana might follow our lead.
Chris Abert, founder and director of the Indiana Recovery Alliance. Chris, thanks again for taking the time to speak with us.
Yeah, thank you, Wes.